questions? Fear, tactics, and religion. There's a Chinese curse that says, may you be born in an interesting time. And you can consider it a curse or a blessing, depending on what level of work you're doing. And when there is uncertainty, like economic uncertainty, terrorism, the bomb, ecological disasters at every turn, I mean, it's stuff that if you're alert, you're aware that you're right on the edge of all the time. A lot of people respond to that uncertainty and anxiety with fear. And the way they dissipate their fear, various strategies. One strategy is to just buy more stuff, to get more pleasure now because it's all going to be gone soon. That's one thing. That's the materialist strategy. Then there is the strategy that really we're working with, which says the fear is rooted in our sense of separateness. Let's work for our deeper unity. There is another alternative, which is to feel that you will reduce the fear if you align yourself with good as opposed to evil. In other words, it's in the world of good and evil. And if you are part of the elect or part of the good guys and you push away the bad guys, somehow you will be protected from the uncertainties of the world. And so people grab on to a belief system which makes them feel that they are in the right, and it reduces some of their anxiety. In order to hold on to that, they have got to convince themselves that other people are not in the right. They've got to polarize the world. And they create a lot of ours is the only way, and if you don't do it, you're missing it and you're wrong. What you have to have is just a lot of compassion for the stages other people are in. When I meet a fundamentalist who feels that I'm the work of the devil, I feel that I can understand how their faith is flickery enough so they have to have that belief. And I will oppose their actions if they try to limit my freedom or somebody else's freedom. But I will understand why they're caught in that. And I'll keep my heart open as well as I can. It'll close sometimes, and then I'll have to open it again. It closes all the time. It's like a yo-yo a lot. And then I have to open it again. When you meet a mensch in any religion, when you meet somebody that is a cooked goose, somebody that has really done the work, there's none of these issues of my way and your way, and you're going to go to hell because you use your way. None of that even exists. When I meet a Zen Roshi or a Bhikkhu in Theravadan or a Lama or a Father Damasius, a beautiful Benedictine monk, he and I were dancing around his desk once, and he wasn't saying, you're not a good Christian, and last week I was at the 92nd Street Y in New York with Reb Zalman Schachter, and we were talking about Judaism, and he wasn't sitting around saying, you're not a good enough Jew. When you look, you meet another being and you recognize the spirit and you trust the spirit. Beliefs, religious beliefs, always come out of a slightly lesser space. They come out of still feeling separate a lot. Yes?
Could you find the difference between wisdom and higher levels of consciousness?
The wisdom that is inherent in higher levels of consciousness, or as Gurdjieff talks about, the higher faculties, or whichever system you want to use, has to do with transcending the way in which the intellect knows. And the way to get into that intuitive being in the... It's like Einstein, for example, said, I didn't arrive at my understanding of the fundamental laws through my rational mind. What he did was, and he describes in other places, he got so one-pointed in his problem-solving that his mind went through, like a laser, into another realm where he was in a gestalt subjective universe, where he was the answer. And then he came back down into Albertness, who happened to be a good physicist, and he brought down a thread of that stuff back in, which was E equals MC squared, which changed all of our lives. Bach goes in, comes back, Brandenburg Concerto. Mozart didn't even go in and out. He just had the door open. He was just copying it as fast as he could. Michelangelo sees a lower plane and does the Sistine Chapel. I mean, it's everybody sees different things. The person that you think you are never gets into those realms. You die along the way. That's the problem. So what you're doing is just designing your own death, psychological death. And what you're doing is thinning all the techniques for quieting the mind, which extricates yourself from your own thinking mind. Like, for example, I went to Rangoon, Burma a year before last, and I sat for months in a meditation cell in a monastery, 800 Burmese and 5 Westerners. And from 3 in the morning till 11 at night, all I did was follow the muscle that rose and fell in my abdomen. And every time it rises with each breath, you notice rising. Every time it falls, you notice falling. And the instruction is to deepen your concentration, bring your awareness back to the rising and falling in the abdomen. Now, if you watch what happens, you sit there and you go rising, falling, rising, falling. And then each thought comes along and says, psst, think me, I'm real, see? Like you're going rising, falling, and then the thought comes, this'll never work, see? And if you buy into that thought, you say, right, it'll never work. Well, see you later, see? But the teacher says, bring your awareness back to your thought, to your rising, falling. Rising, falling, right? Then another one, my knee hurts, or when is lunch, or, I mean, they go on and on. The one that really gets you is rising, falling, rising. I think something's happening. That one really gets you. That's the one that sucks you. And in each case, you've got to come back and come back and come back and come back until your mind gets so quiet. Then you see that even the concept of somebody sitting in Rangoon meditating was just a thought. And finally, there is just the rising and falling. And you've disappeared into the right. That's the beginning exercise. Then your mind becomes like a laser and you start to pierce into the universe and the truths of the universe. For example, then you begin to see, when I hold up my hand, you see hand, but what you're seeing is a light and shadow, and then your conceptual mind going through a huge computer race is spitting out the concept hand and it's applying it to this phenomena that you're seeing. These phenomena. And what happens as your mind gets quiet is you see what's called the nama and the rupa separate. You see the mind go out and grab the phenomena and make it something. And you begin to see your mind doing it all the time. It's like Christ saying, look, I'm making all things new. And at that point, you're beginning to see the way in which the universe is created. See the nature of the impermanence of it, all the deeper things that the Buddha pointed out. And the Buddha was beautiful. He said, don't take my word for it. You do it and you experience it for yourself. So these are the techniques. I think we have to stop now. Yes. Okay, I just got my message. We turn back into a pumpkin. In one thing I want to just say is, it seems to me incredible grace that you and I have enough food in our belly and enough and a roof over our head and a political system that allows us to come together to do this. That in the history of civilization, it is rare indeed that people have the opportunity to explore Dharma this way. And this doesn't mean we should be guilty about it. This is our part in the total dance. And we work on ourselves and we offer the fruits of our working back in. And if we develop equanimity and peace, we bring equanimity and peace back into the world. So that we're playing our parts by doing this, but it's still extraordinarily graceful moment these evenings. In India, when we meet in part, we say namaste, which means I honor the place in you where when you're in yours and I'm in mine, there's only one of us. Namaste.
This concludes Cultivating the Heart of Compassion with Ram Dass. Music by Glenn Velez. For more information on the work of Ram Dass, please contact the Hahnemann Foundation, 524 San Anselmo Avenue, number 203, San Anselmo, California, 94960, or online at www.ramdastapes.org. If you would like additional copies of this audio learning program, or to receive a free catalog of wisdom teachings for the inner life, please contact Sounds True, www.soundstrue.com, or call us toll-free, 1-800-333-9185, or write the Sounds True catalog, P.O. Box 8010, Boulder, Colorado, 80306. Thank you for listening.